The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Lakewood means rewind, a gunshot means forward. You requested it, so we rewind.
Sports Talk 1240, Jake Brown here with a working microphone. Finally, the last time we got cut off a little bit here, AM 1240 WGBB at Jake Brown Radio at Sports Talk 1240. If you're watching on the webcam, if the audio works on there, I got a nice little fresh haircut ready to go. Battling a headache, and you can probably know the reason why for that if you watch TV the last couple hours and you return to Pix 11 watching the Mets and Braves. Adam Zagoria is going to join us at 9:15 with the NBA draft just a couple of days away. It'll be Thursday at the Barclays Center. I will be there covering it with CBS Sports Radio, so I'll probably see Zags, as they call them, zagsblog.com, SNY.tv. Basketball insider. He knows it all when it comes to that stuff and recruits and college players. So we'll see. Will the Knicks take Moutier? Will they take Russell? Or they trade the pick? A-Rod gets 3,000. It finally happens as a home run. It's only fitting. The A-Rod gets 3,000 with the home run. It's only fitting that the guy who caught it's caught 8,000 plus balls in his life. He's with my girl Lisa Ann at the game earlier this week. So that was an interesting story. But there's the draft, there's the Yankees, but we're going to start off with the debacle in college. What do we call it? Flushing. We'll call it Flushing, Queens. There's a certain point of time where you're fed up. It's either with, is it your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband? The dinner was burnt. They were late to dinner. You didn't pick up the kids on time. It's with your job. Your boss is not paying you enough. You don't have enough vacation days. The workload is crazy. You hate your boss. It's with your dog. He's pooping on the floor. He's peeing all over the place. It's with your mother. She can't stop screaming your name to get the laundry. She's telling you to do the dishes. And then there's a certain point when you're a sports fan where you've had enough of what you've watched. And that is the state that is we have reached if you're a New York Metropolitans fan. Terry Collins, the guy's the third most winning manager in Mets history. Let that sink in at how embarrassing that is when he's had yet to finish over 500 with the New York Mets. Now, this weekend was the culmination of the last 3 or 4 years and the feelings I've had since the guy walked in the building. When the Mets signed Terry Collins, it was the cheap way out. It was the guy who was available. He worked in the minor leagues with the team. They thought they'd give him the shot. He was the old school skipper. He's a friendly guy. You like him off. You like his demeanor off the field. But then there's the side of the job that means you have to manage the games and in games. That's a 95% of the job. And there is no man worse in Major League Baseball than that of Terry Collins. Let's look back Friday night. It's the eighth inning. Jacob DeGrom is cruising. Remember, the Mets threw out DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Harvey. And what do? They didn't win one game. And Friday, what happens? It's runners at first and second. Or no, runner at second, excuse me. One out. DeGrom has under 100 pitches. Runner at third, sorry. Runner at third, one out. DeGrom stays in the game, 7 1/3. He gives up, there's a slow roller, not even slow roller, a ground ball to Wilmer Flores. Flores, being the horrific defender he has been all season, takes a look at third, and he's taking a look way too long when there's a speedy runner in Soraka going to first. Soraka beats it out. It's first and third. No harm on DeGrom, not his fault. He got the ground ball. Should have been two outs, runner at third. And then Terry Collins makes one of the most boneheaded decisions you'll ever see. He takes out Jacob DeGrom in the eighth inning when he's cruising. The pitch before was a ground ball to short. Oh, he's out of gas. We want to save him for the rest of the year. Screw the pitch counts. I've had Tommy John in the program. The guy pitched almost 3 decades. He pitched 130 pitches. Let Jacob DeGrom pitch, especially when you're going out there some days. These guys are getting 5 days rest. They're going with a 6-man rotation. How are you going to pull him that early? Okay, let's go to a lefty specialist. Lefty specialist, my ass. Who the hell came in the game there? Who came in? It's Sean Gilmartin. The guy's better versus righties than he is lefties. And the same thing with a guy like Alex Torres, he puts in today, who's pitching 279 against lefties and 163 against righties. So tell me how those two guys are lefty specialists. You're going to put Sean Gilmartin in the game, take out the best pitcher on your team in the year 2015 in Jacob DeGrom, and what happens? Gilmartin, two-run double, DeGrom gets the loss. I mean, it's scripted. It's the same thing, and it's the same time every year. It's the middle of June, the summer swoon. You know what? The NBA comes to an end, the NHL comes to an end, and all you got left is to watch the Mets. And then you get your back stabbed. That's what happens. I mean, Terry Collins has no reason to take DeGrom out of that game on Friday. Just none whatsoever. Let the kid pitch. It's first and third, one out. You got a guy who could ground it to a double play coming up, and he brings in an inexperienced pitcher in Sean Gilmartin. I mean, I haven't seen anyone manage a bullpen as poor as Terry Collins. It's never been seen before. The time is now to fire Terry Collins. If there was a day to do it, it's tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow is my brother's birthday, so that would be a great birthday present for him, even though he's a Yankee fan. It would basically replace my birthday because I've had enough of this guy. I mean, what's the excuse? The excuse is, hey, he's a nice guy. He's good in the clubhouse. The players love him. The guy makes excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse for this team losing. They're tired. Oh, we got a lot of young guys. There's a lot of injuries. Stop waiting for David Wright to get back and play some baseball. This is the major leagues. You got five studs in your starting rotation, essentially. John East pitched well last start. I don't know if you call him a stud, but Steven Matz will be on the way. And when that happens, you're going to have Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey, Matz, and then you're going to have Colon as your fifth starter. It's hard to fathom a team not making the playoffs with that rotation. It really is. But the Mets are the one that could defy that when you have a knucklehead in the dugout sitting there making wrong move after wrong move. I mean, and people, the Dilson Herrera thing, the love for him, the guy doesn't know how to play defense. He's got no baseball IQ, and he's a 215 hitter with some pop. I know he's got a bright future, but let's settle down calling him the second baseman of the future. Everyone wants to write off Daniel Murphy and say, you know what, let's trade him. Daniel Murphy, the Mets are missing that bat desperately right now. Sure, he started the season April, he was terrible, but he was scorching hot in May. And the Mets badly need the bat of Daniel Murphy. And who else needs to be fired? The Mets training staff. I mean, what's going on? It's like he's going to be back here. He's going to be back a week later. Now Darno's hurt. And now Murphy won't be back till the weekend. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention this from Friday night. Okay, so what is the obsession with lefty-lefty, righty-righty, lefty-lefty, righty-righty with Terry Collins? 2-1, bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the eighth. Why the hell are you putting Jiris Familia in the game when you're losing in the eighth inning? And what happens? Karma indeed is a bitch. Because what does he do? Familia gets hurt. There's a chance he could go to the DL. And all blame for that goes to Terry Collins. You don't put your closer in a non-save situation when you're losing in the eighth inning, when he's already been used heavily in the 2015 season. You don't put him in there. I mean, and then last week, I mean, it's a laundry list. I really need to start taking notes of each time because I guarantee you Terry Collins has lost him 10 to 12 games at the very least every year since he got here. 10 to 12 games is the difference between a playoff team and a non-playoff team. And that's what we're talking about with the Mets. You could say they've overachieved with all the injuries. No, they've underachieved. I mean, you see Matt Harvey go out there and dominate today. And what happens? They lose. You don't put Familia in. He's hurt now. Travis Darno is hurt. Daniel Murphy won't be back another week. And, hey, let's keep fielding Ruben Tejada at third base and Eric Campbell Soup. Triple A, I don't care if he was hitting 400. The guy can't hit a lick in the major leagues. Stop waiting for David Wright and make a trade. Because with spinal stenosis, I can guarantee you David Wright will never be the same player again. And if the Mets think that way, then they're losing out on $20 million a year until 2020 because that's what he's owed for the next five seasons. So there's a guy like Todd Frazier. The Reds right now are not in a playoff race. The guy leads the league in home runs, and you can't go make a trade for him? Even Aramis Ramirez, I know he's owed some money, and I think a change of scenery could be good for him. The Brewers eat up some of that contract. Gene Segura, the Brewers are basically eliminated already. The Brewers will trade Gene Segura if you offer him the right package. Decent fielder, 290 hitter, he's got speed, he's a better defender. You can move Flores to third in that situation, or move Murphy to third and move Flores to second. I mean, second base is an easier position than short, and we've seen it. Flores can't throw to first, he can't field. He's gotten a little bit better since early in the season, but he still cost them multiple games. Now, I won't say his bat hasn't made up for a couple. He's had a couple of big home runs. And I'm not going to hate on Flores like I'm going to hate on Terry Collins. I guarantee you that. But there's a point where you stop putting out the excuses of injuries and the excuse that you don't have the guys in the lineup and the excuse that you have a couple of minor leaguers in the bullpen. And it goes to the man up top. And yeah, that's Sandy Alderson, but it starts with the manager. And I'll tell you, there's guys out there who can replace him. Bob Guerin is sitting right next to him on his right-hand side. He managed the A's from 2007 to 2011. Bud Black was just fired. We're talking about the 2010 Manager of the Year, Bud Black, who went from 07 to 015 with the same team in the Padres. You're going to tell me he's a bad manager? Go get him. Now, sure, the answer everybody wants, the answer that I want, the answer that Gary wants here, the answer that we all want at manager is the man at AAA, Wally Backman. Now, I got a chance to talk to Mookie Wilson the other day at Craig Carnes event, and me and Mookie, he laughed, basically. He put his foot down and started squashing it like a bug when we brought up, it was me and the Cyclones assistant GM, we brought up the fact that Wally Backman should be the guy. He's fiery. He's the complete opposite of Terry. And, folks, he's had so much success in the minor leagues. I mean, the guy is a consistent winner at the minor league level. What says he can't take that to the major league level? And the Cyclones assistant GM, he told me when Wally Backman was there, it was the best year he's worked in minor leagues in his entire life because Wally Backman lights that fire in a team. He knows how to manage in games. But even Mookie said he started chuckling and just stomping the idea down that it's not going to happen because of the New York market, because of his brash, because of his past. He's had DUIs. He's been arrested. He's had an up-and-down past, we can say. But if the Mets wanted to sell tickets and they wanted to light the fire back in this fan base for what's going to be a long summer if we continue watching this, you make a move tomorrow. The first day of summer is today. You make the move tomorrow. You get Wally Backman. You get Bud Black. Even put Bob Guerin, the bench coach, in that spot. And you know what? The fans are going to be pumped up. They got a homestand next weekend. And they're going to be pumped up if you make that decision. So go do it. It's not hard. Say goodnight. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, Terry Collins. Because the proclamation of the end has just been handed to you by Jake Brown, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. That was the declaration of the end of Terry Collins. But I need to take a breather for a second and switch it over to the NBA. Now, the NBA draft comes at us Thursday from the Barclays Center. I'll be there covering it with CBS Sports Radio. Follow along on Twitter there at Jake Brown Radio and at CBS Sports Radio. And to break down the NBA draft and the New York Knicks with their fourth pick is a guy I had on actually January 13, 2013 was the only time I've had him on when I was with Ty Hardeman here. Now it is Adam Zagoria at Adam Zagoria on Twitter. He's an SNY.TV basketball insider. You could check out zagsblog.com. He does a tremendous job updating you with high school prospects, college prospects, the NBA. So check out zagsblog.com. Adam, happy Father's Day. Thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening. It is the dog days of summer, but the NBA draft is just a couple of days away. Now, the Knicks have the fourth pick, obviously. The balls did not fall their way in the lottery. Now, what is your take, Adam? Are you more of a D'Angelo Russell guy, or are you more of an Emmanuel Mudiay guy?
Well, I mean, you know, my joke is that the Knicks have worked out everybody except for Mark Berman and Frank Isola, their beat writers here in recent weeks. I mean, they've had, you know, I think they set up to 30 guys in there working out. So it's hard to know, you know, what they're going to do, and a lot of it depends on who's going to be available. I mean, I think their preference would be to get a big guy And if somehow, some way, Jahlil Okafor is still there at four, you know, they would take him. You know, I don't expect him to be there. I think if D'Angelo Russell is still there, they'd be thrilled and they'd probably take him. I think Moutier, you know, could be really good. He's a big 6'5 point guard, you know, some comparisons to Russell Westbrook and other NBA guards. So, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with Moutier, but, you know, there's also a lot of reports they may trade the pick. So it's just hard to predict at this point.
Now, do you agree with the fact that people are saying that D'Angelo Russell could be the next Russell Westbrook? Do you see that in him at all?
Well, again, I mean, I've seen both D'Angelo and Moutier compared to Russell Westbrook. Look, I mean, there's only one Russell Westbrook, and I think we get a little carried away with these comparisons sometimes. D'Angelo Russell is a very confident, cocky guard. I covered him in high school a little bit, played for Kevin Boyle at Montverde Academy in Florida, and Kevin's coached a bunch of NBA guys, including Michael Gilchrist and Kyrie Irving. So I think it's a little silly to compare, you know, a kid who's had 1 year in college to, you know, a guy who was in the mix for the MVP of the NBA.
I would agree with that. But now everyone's saying, and also Emmanuel Moutier can't work in the triangle. He's 6'5". He's more of a shooting guard. What do you say to those people?
Well, I mean, I don't know who says he's a shooting guard. That's not true. He's a point guard. He's been a point guard his whole career. You know, we had Larry Brown on our podcast on SNY, and he says he's a better point guard than D'Angelo Russell, and he doesn't think D'Angelo Russell is a point guard. He's more of a two guard. So I think I think Moutier is more of a point guard. I mean, it does beg the question whether you need a point guard in the triangle, and you know, you don't really need a lead guard per se as much in the triangle. But you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to depend a lot on what the Lakers do, and if the Lakers somehow take Russell and don't take Okafor, if this guy Porzingis, the Latvian 7-footer, is still there at four, the Knicks could take him. And I know Jonathan Givony from Draft Express, I think, is going to put up a new mock pretty soon with the Knicks taking Porzingis.
That I could just see that going down and the booze raining down.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I had Fran Fraschilla on a while ago, and he said that, you know, Phil Jackson will probably get booed out of New York because, you know, obviously everybody remembers the Frederick Weiss pick, and Andrea Bargnani's been a bust for the Knicks. So if they pick a foreign player, a European player, you know, there's going to be a lot of criticism, no doubt.
Yeah, it's good. Luckily they moved it to the Barclays Center, even though that won't make much of a difference. I would be shocked if they didn't go. Now, everyone's saying, reports are saying, that Russell doesn't want to play with the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have a little critical eye on all these things. I mean, that was one report in the LA Times. I don't know if it's fair to say everyone is.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I spoke to D'Angelo Russell at the draft lottery. A bunch of us reporters spoke to him. He was very enthusiastic about Philadelphia. You know, he's got connections. He knows Joel Embiid from Montverde Academy in Florida. He's got connections there. I think some of these guys like, you know, as bad as Philly has been, they like the idea of the Sixers having a lot of young, you know, talented players. They have Nerlens, they have Embiid. So he was very enthusiastic when we talked to him about Philadelphia.
The Knicks say you have these two, obviously, again, report, and I'm not going to say everybody, but there's a report potentially for the 7th pick with the Nuggets and Ty Lawson, or the 13th in the Suns and Eric Bledsoe. What trade would you do if you were the Knicks and you did decide to trade away the 4th pick?
Well, look, the Knicks need a little bit of everything. So, you know, they only have a handful of guys under contract for next year. Carmelo's coming off knee surgery. You know, they don't have any bigs. So they need a lot of things. So it wouldn't surprise me if Okafor and Russell are gone, if Phil Jackson decides to trade down and get, you know, another player like one of the guys you mentioned and another draft pick, and then maybe you get a Willie Cauley-Stein or Frank Kaminsky or somebody lower in the pick. I mean, I think if you could get Eric Bledsoe, you know, that'd be tremendous. He's a great young guard, went to Kentucky, very talented. So, I mean, I would, you know, I'd probably do that if I could. If I could get him.
Both those trades, I think, would be fair for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Lawson's a very speedy, quick point guard. I mean, you know, you look back on the point guards the Knicks have had in recent years, you know, Ray Felton and some of these other guys, they just get exposed by the quicker point guards in the league, like Ty Lawson and, you know, all these other quick guards, Kyrie and guys like that. And the Knicks have never had a guy in recent memory who was that quick who could defend those players or, you know, beat opposing point guards. So, you know, it would be nice to have a guy like that.
I think the sirens you hear in the background is the police coming after fans coming on stage if the Knicks did go with Porzingis with the fourth pick. Where do you think Justice Winslow goes? Do you think he's a top five guy, top ten?
You know, I like Justice as a person and a player. I covered him, you know, in college at Duke. To me, I see him more as like a 5'6", 7'8" kind of guy. You know, he only measured, I think, about 6'5" at the Chicago Combine. I know the Knicks had him worked out, you know, along with just about everybody else, and Draft Express has him right now going 8 to the Pistons, so I'd be surprised if they took Justice Winslow at 4.
1-2, do you see any scenario where it's not Karl Towns and Okafor? I mean, I just don't see that happening. It's got to be those guys.
I'd be shocked if Karl Anthony Towns does not go number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Calipari was on a conference call with us the other day, John Calipari, Kentucky coach, and he said Towns, you know, is ready to go to Minnesota and rebuild there. I mean, you know, I think if you're any kid, you'd rather go to Los Angeles than Minnesota. So there probably is a part of Karl that would prefer to go to the Lakers. But, you know, he's a good kid. He's not going to force his way there. As for number two, I mean, the Lakers have had Okafor, Moutier, and Russell all in there twice for workouts, suggesting that they, you know, are thinking hard, long and hard about it. And there's a lot of people who think that, you know, they really like D'Angelo Russell. But, you know, these big guys, seven-footers like Towns and Okafor with this skill set don't come along that often.
Yep.
And I think you're, you know, it's risky to not pick them.
Adam Zagoria, at Adam Zagoria, part of the SNY.TV family where I produce the Mets on the Air podcast. Zagsblog.com does a terrific job there. Where does Frank Kaminsky fall? In my opinion, I don't think he's going to pan out to be a star, maybe a bench player in the NBA. But where do you think Kaminsky falls in this first round?
I mean, I've talked to a lot of NBA scouts that I trust, and they all like him, and they think he's going to be a long-time successful player in the league. I mean, he's a seven-footer who, you know, can score in a variety of ways. You know, he played very well in the NCAA tournament. You know, don't forget, they beat Kentucky in the semifinals and played – tough against Duke in the final, and he had double doubles in both games, so he's good. I don't think he's going to get picked until the latter part of the lottery, kind of 10, 11, 12 range. But again, the Knicks have worked him out. You know, Phil Jackson, I don't know what he's going to do. He's had guys in there, Trey Lyles, who he likes, who, you know, is projected as like the 13th pick, but maybe they trade down and get another player, and then you get Lyles or Kaminsky or Willie Cauley-Stein in a trade.
If I had to ask you now, before we let you go in a couple of minutes, gun to your head, who do the Knicks pick at 4 if they take it?
I mean, again, it's very hard to know until we see who the Lakers and the Sixers pick. You know, I guess I would say Moutier,
mm-hmm.
but if Porzingis is still there, they might take a flyer on him. If D'Angelo Russell's still there, they could take him. I mean, you know, one of these guys is still going to be there at 4 because there's, you know, if you count the five big guys, Towns, Okafor, Porzingis, the three big guys plus Russell and Moutier, the guards, you know, two of them will still be there when the Knicks pick. So it just depends on what the Lakers and the Sixers do, I think.
And will you be there Thursday of the draft?
I'll be there. I'll be there bright and shiny, bright and early.
All right. I will be seeing you there in the press room there. Before I let you go, are you a Mets guy or a Yankee guy?
I grew up a Yankees fan, my friend. Went to the 78 World Series.
Okay. So me asking you, should Terry Collins be fired, is kind of irrelevant then.
Yeah. I don't have a comment on that.
All right. Adam Zagoria at at zagsblog.com, sny.tv, at Adam Zagoria on Twitter. Thanks a lot for coming on, and I'll see you at the draft Thursday, Adam. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Take care.
Take care. A Father's Day trip from Adam Zagoria, part of the sny.tv family. Gun to the head, he says Moutier, but obviously he's right. It depends on what happens. And, oh, my God, if they go pick the European guy, luckily I'm in the present, not a fan, I might run on stage and say something about that. That would just be a debacle if they did not go with Russell or Moutier. The hope is Russell is there because he could be the guard of the future for this team. We'll see what happens with Jose Calderon if they do trade him. Who do you think the Knicks should pick? I want you to call in at 631-888-8811. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I'll get some more Mets venting off my chest. Also, on a Father's Day and a Harvey Day, it was a Tanaka Day, and it wasn't a pretty one for Tanaka and the Yankees as they get shelled. And also, is Alex Rodriguez one of the five greatest players ever? You'll be surprised as what my answer is to that question. Sports Talk 1240. We're going to take a break here. Get into more Mets, Yankees, NBA draft. It's all on the table. So we're taking your calls the rest of the way. We'll take a quick break right here on Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back. Sports Talk 1240. Jake Brown here at Jake Brown Radio. You can check out my site, jakeryanbrown.com. And for those wondering, I did put an end to the Brown and Troop podcast with CBS and Play.it and CBS Local Sports, iTunes. Just wasn't working out, folks. I mean, there's a time where you got to say goodbye. And it wasn't working out with me and Troop with times. The whole, if you know, the TV debacle was plain embarrassing on Troop's part. It's not a way you treat a co-host. And I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I kind of did just throw him under the bus, but there will be a new podcast in the works where both co-hosts will be teaming up and working hard and getting amazing guests. And I'll hopefully announce that in the next 2 weeks, still trying to figure out what the deal is with that. But we're talking huge name guests, and I'm talking about like a guy like Isaiah Thomas will probably be on one of the first shows. So you need to keep keep it locked in on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio, JB Sports Radio on Facebook, because buckle up, because it's about to be taken to the next level. But we're talking Mets, we're talking Yankees, we're talking NBA draft. Adam Zagoria, thanks a lot for coming on. He says, likely Moutier with the fourth pick for the Knicks. We'll see if they do trade it. You know what? I'm fine if they trade it for Ty Lawson. I'm fine if they trade it for Bledsoe and that pick, because you're still going to get a good guy in the top 15, and you're going to get a starting player. So you're going to get two guys for one, essentially. So if those trades are on the board, you got to do them. But please don't pick the European guy. We just know from the past that that doesn't work out. And even with Moutier, the guy played 12 games last year, was banged up. Everyone's saying he won't work in the triangle. That's a risky pick. He's talented, and from what I've seen of him, the guy looks really good. But remember, they don't play defense in China. You basically put stick figures up there because they don't play any defense. You put a crash dummy there, and that's the defender, and you go around him. So we don't know if that's going to translate to the next level. We do know D'Angelo Russell was a boss at Ohio State. I mean, you're talking 25-5 as a freshman. So this kid is the real deal. He's good, and he's a lefty. I like lefties. I'm sure Derek Fisher will like lefties, the fellow lefty point guard himself. Now, 631-888-8811 is the number to call. The New York Yankees and Masahiro Tanaka pitched today. And before we do that, we'll give a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and a special happy Father's Day shout-out to my own dad. Just passed his strong work ethic, his ambition, and his passion on to me. The guy travels all over the world, and it's crazy how much he travels to put food on the table at night and make us have a good life. Obviously, I'm doing my own thing now. I'm older, but they're still there to support. I mean, they do pay for the car. I'll say that. So I appreciate that and just the support that they have. And to be honest, I probably wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for my dad getting me into sports. Who knew if I would have gotten into sports if my dad said, say my dad hated sports. He didn't turn on the fan and the schmooze. He didn't like the Yankees. We're talking, I could be like a salesman, or I could be like a prostitute. Who knows what I could be? Who knows what path I would have taken if I didn't choose sports radio and this industry? So happy Father's Day to my dad. Thank you for all that you have taught me and the lessons you have brought upon to me. We check the Twitter sphere here at Jake Brown Radio on Twitter, and RefPJ23 says, really, this is probably one of the dumbest questions ever asked about A-Rod being a top five player. And Keith Irizarry, my guy Keith, at Keith Irizarry on Twitter, I think it's more likely Porzingis. I have a weird gut feeling that Okafor could fall to four and Zonja Winslow ahead of Moutier. So it was an interesting take there from Keith, because you could already hear the boo birds coming down at the Knicks do go with Porzingis. And if you want to chime in and give your pick, should they trade it? Should they keep it? Who should the Knicks take? I'll be there Thursday with live updates and hopefully some interviews with CBS Sports Radio. 631-888-8811 is the number to call in. But Tanaka, man, he was bad today. 7 runs, 5 of them earned. J.D. Martinez pounced 3 homers and 6 ribbies. And the Yankees lose 12-4. What can you say about the Yankees? I'll say this. One, they've overachieved. I'm shocked. I mean, they're a game out, and I'll tell you, the Rays have overachieved, too, being in first place right now. It's just tremendous what the Rays have been able to do. But the Yankees have overachieved with the injury. We're talking about Andrew Miller on the DL now. I mean, they've battled injuries. Tanaka was out early. Besides Miller, they're somewhat okay. They got Betances. But, man, you got to give credit to the Yankees. It's been inconsistent, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at this month. They go out and sweep the Mariners. They sweep the Angels. They split with the Nationals. Then they lose 2 out of 3 of the Orioles. They lose. They split 4 with the Marlins. They win 2 out of 3 with the Tigers. It's like you don't never know what's going to happen with the Yankees. And same with May. It was like you sweep the Red Sox, you lose a series to the Blue Jays. You win the series versus the Orioles. You lose a series against the Rays. You lose a series against the Royals. You lose a series against the Nationals. You lose swept versus the Rangers. Then you sweep the Royals, and then you lose a series to the A's. So May was tough for the Yankees, but June has been good. So it's hard to have a good read of this Yankees team. What team are we getting here? very inconsistent, but hey, they're overachieving. You got to give credit to the Yankees right now with what they've done. And they promoted Aaron Judge, they're one of their top prospects, to AAA today. So he could be on the way to help this Yankees offense out. And one of the guys that has helped the Yankees offense out is Alex Rodriguez. I mean, look at the numbers A-Rod has put up this year, folks. He's putting up MVP numbers. 282, 14 homers, 40 RBIs, a 384 OBP. And how fitting was it that his 3,000th hit was a home run the other night? And I'm pretty pissed I didn't go. I'm a Mets fan, yes, but I love seeing history. How great would it have been to see A-Rod's 3,000th hit? Just the villain of Major League Baseball who was just putting up a tremendous season after sitting out last year. It's remarkable. 2013, hardly played. He was hurt. 2014, suspended. And now 2015, he is the heart and soul of the New York Yankees offense and the only guy that's selling tickets. I mean, the atmosphere Friday was tremendous. And I was supposed to go. Friend couldn't go. And wish I was there to see it. But, man, A-Rod is carrying the Yankees. And remember, folks, it's funny because I thought he was third on the all-time list, but he's fourth in RBIs. Who is third? Cap Anson. Now, if you know who Cap Anson is, you are one weird mofo because this guy played in the 1870s, 1880s. So not even the historians, not even the insiders like Timmy Kirchin. I did the voice crack for Tim Kirchin, Buster Olney, those guys. They don't know who Cap Anson is. So A-Rod is fourth all-time in RBIs. He's behind Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth on the home run list. That begs the question, is Alex Rodriguez a top five player in MLB history? What do you think? 631-888-8811. You know what? I'm going to say it. Put the steroids aside. Say he never took steroids and put up these numbers. You're saying yes. He is a top five player of all time. He is. You can argue it all you want, but the guy has top five RBIs and top five in home runs. All-around player, maybe not, but in terms of hitters, he is top five to ever do it. If you don't talk about the steroids, obviously that's the key. You do talk about the steroids, but Alex Rodriguez is a top five hitter of all time. And I said it, yeah. You can react on Twitter, at Jake Brown Radio, at Sports Talk 1240. But it's hard to argue when a guy is that good. And Alex Rodriguez has done it consistently over time, and I know it involves controversy, but stats are stats, folks. And he has been absolutely remarkable throughout his entire career. I mean, look at the stretch from 1996 to 2010. And then after that, 2011 to now, he's faded off a little. He's having a good year this year. But look at those numbers, 90, 96, 36, 123, 97, 23, 84, 98, 42, 124, 42, 111, 41, 132, 52, 135, 57, 142, 47, 118, 36, 106, 48, 130, 35, 121, 54, 156, 35, 103, 30, 130, 125, and in those years that does include a world championship in 2009 with the Yankees. That is just a remarkable stretch from 1996 to 2010. Folks, we're talking about 15 years of pure dominance. You also got to include the fact he's got 323 steals. He's a career 299 hitter, career 384 OBP. Alex Rodriguez is one of the five greatest players to ever do it. He just is. Look at those numbers. I mean, that stretch of games is unheard of. In today's game, you're not going to see that. Now, if you want to argue steroids, fine. But in terms of numbers, he's a top five player in baseball history. And I don't want to keep beating the drum here, but he's also a lightning rod. Everyone loves him. And I just got a tweet from GX5. Top five might be a stretch, but top 10 of 15, no doubt. Best shortstop ever. And that is from Patrick, I believe, who used to tune into the weekend with Jake and Drew on ESPN Radio New Hampshire back in the glory days. But thanks, Patrick, for the tweet. Definitely a top 10. Now, the argument is top five. I'm going to say he's top five. But Patrick says top 10 of 15, no doubt. And it's not even a question. He's the best shortstop ever. It really isn't. It is hot in the studio. Ooh. It is hot outside. First day of summer. It's hot in the studio. Happy Father's Day. All the fathers out there. Probably having a cup of wine. Probably falling asleep by now. What time is it? It's 9:40. And alternate side parking night in Astoria. But I'm going to have to sneak in to the back, even though you're not supposed to park in the drive in the parking lot in our back. I'm going to do it because, you know what, when you get home at 11 o'clock on Sunday night, you try to find a spot, you're walking about 4 miles from where your car is to home. And in other news, I've said it before. I've said it over and over. Alternate side parking is the stupidest thing on the face of the earth. You don't need to clean the damn streets, Brian, every single day, every week. You don't need to do it. They're streets. They're meant to be dirty. I mean, what's the need? It's just a hassle to move your car every week. It's just, that's beside this point of sports. But, man, whoever made alternate side parking, I really feel bad for you. And a tweet from Lauren Rose, who's listening, at Lauren Rose 324, breaking down the stats at Jake Brown Radio with a thumbs up emoji. That's just what I do. Break down stats. That's it. And the stats are really what proves my point here. The consistency for A-Rod over that time, in terms of home runs, in terms of RBIs, in terms of his average, in terms of his on-base percentage, just show it. And Alley Cat, John Sweeney, another host here with Derek Wozniak, he said, he is a Chester, enough said. I think he meant to say cheater, but John might have pressed the wrong buttons there. He is. You know what? Is Mark McGwire a cheater? Yeah. Sammy Sosa a cheater? Yeah. King Griffey Jr. a cheater? Probably. Even Derek Jeter might have cheated. Oh, don't say it. Our Lord, our Savior, Derek Jeter. Folks, he may have took steroids. We don't know. And that's the thing you could put to the side. That's your argument, fine. But when you put that to the side, he's probably fourth or he's probably fifth all time. You got Hank Aaron. You got Babe Ruth. You're probably going to put Barry Bonds ahead of him despite the steroids. And you maybe put Willie Mays or Ted Williams in the fourth spot. But Alex Rodriguez is right there at number five. And as L. Rose said, the stats show you, and I broke them down for you. So that's how I'm gonna do with it. So the Twitter sphere is reacting here. Top five might be a stretch. He's a cheater, though. So it's interesting to see various people's opinions on the topic. And I would retweet John on that, but it's the difference between cheater and Chester is a little too much. He's a Chester. That sounds like a kind of cheese or something. He's a Chester. But the Yankees, you're living with it right now. You're living with what they've done. The Mets, you're not. Now, what I did before as we get back to the Mets here, Sports Talk 1240 AM, 1240 WGBB, I put the end to Terry Collins. In-game managing, horrific. He's never been to the playoffs. He has an under 500 record for his managerial career. I've told you all you need to know. He makes bizarre lineup moves. I don't even like the lineup he puts together. I would hit Lagares leadoff every day. Then he goes out and says that Lagares may need Tommy John surgery. Oh, just write the future for us, why don't you? And I'm going to blame him, of course. But my goodness, Sandy Alderson. You got to move your hands from under your ass and start making some phone calls. Because what Sandy Alderson has put together is a joke. And Michael Barron tweeted, it sure sounded like Terry Collins made a public plea for help from his GM this afternoon in Atlanta. Maybe it's just me. And I'm trying to see right about now Jordan Spieth. It looks like Jordan Spieth is running away with the U.S. Open right now. But Sandy Alderson, you know what? It's Terry's fault, but it's your fault too, Sandy. This offense is anemic. How many more starts are we going to have to watch just gems by DeGrom, by Harvey, by Cologne, even one by Nice? How many more? And RefPJ23 says, best shortstop, Wow, He is. He's the best shortstop ever. When he played there, obviously he moved to third. But Sandy Alderson, this is what you do. This should be the June 22nd timeline. And shout out, happy birthday, shout out to my brother tomorrow, who will turn, 29 years old. He is an old man. I got to give credit to my brother for growing a very solid beard that I can't grow. I give credit to people who grow a nice beard because mine just comes in patches, man. It's rough. The beard life is rough. It is a struggle to grow a proper beard, I'll tell you that. But besides the point. And RefPJ20, he hasn't played shortstop in forever, and that belongs to Cal Ripken Jr. No, Cal Ripken Jr. played a ton of games, but look at his average. Look at his overall numbers. A-Rod is better than Cal Ripken Jr., I'm sorry. Cal Ripken Jr., great player, a little bit of a compiler. He played a while. He's not better than A-Rod. Just the numbers tell you that. Cal Ripken Jr. put nowhere near the numbers that A-Rod did in his prime, so don't give me that. And if A-Rod didn't go to the Yankees, he probably still would have been playing shortstop, but the Yankees already had a guy in place there. And I like this tweet from Marie Tuma, Miss Met, New Jersey. Five laws in a row. The Mets need to figure this out. Forget the promo ads, concerts, special ticket offers. Fix a team. And I agree 100%. The Mets are trying to give away tickets. They're doing deals. They're doing $33 Harvey ticket, and you get the Batman mask. Or buy two tickets, get two free. Dunkin' Donuts, buy one, get one free. Enough. Enough is enough. Fix the team. And the Mets need bats. And I'll tell you who the answers are. If Todd Frazier's available, you know what? I trade for him. And if it's going to take Steven Matz, I might do it. As crazy as that sounds, the guy's one of the best hitters in the league this year. He's been remarkable. Ooh, it is hot. And I was going to do, I devoured the chips at Chipotle before this, and I was going to eat the chips and say, here's how much I understand Terry Collins' moves. And I was going to put chips in my mouth and go, and that's, do you understand what I'm saying? No. Do you understand what Terry Collins is doing? Boom. Analogy. Boom. Done. Using props. But I got too hungry and ate all the chips. but Ben Zobrist, you know what? He makes $7 million a year. Sure. The guy plays every position. He's versatile. He's reliable. He struggled a bit in Oakland. I think a new scene, a fresh scenery for him will be good, a team that's in a playoff race. But, folks, now the Mets are a game and a half out. This was a team that was in first. They've survived the Nationals not playing well. But the Nationals are rolling now. Max Scherzer should have thrown a perfect game. Jose Tabata was a knucklehead and put his arm down and leaned into it. Pretty chump move on Tabata's part. But the Nationals, Scherzer looks like the best pitcher in baseball. I acquired him in one of my fantasy leagues just because of that. He got me a no-hitter yesterday. So the Nationals haven't even been in first gear or fourth gear, whatever you want to call it. First gear, it's all right. Second gear, hang on tight. Third gear, hang on tight. Faster, it's all right. Fourth gear is coming. And by the trade deadline, the Mets may not be in the race anymore. It's enough budgeting. There's a reason people laugh at Sandy Alderson when he says I have flexibility. I have room to get guys. So why aren't you doing it? The Mets want to continue sitting on their hands until David Wright returns, probably sometime after the All-Star break. They're hoping. But who says he's going to stay in the field? This is not a sprained ankle, torn calf, torn ACL, something that you can recover from. This is spinal stenosis. And he's playing third base. He has to be bent down for most of the game playing defense. I mean, we're not talking about an outfielder where he's standing up straight. He's got to bend down. He's got to swing in the cages. And who says he could be an everyday player? There's guys out there who are available, whether it's Aramis Ramirez, Gene Segura, Ben Zobrist, maybe a Todd Frazier. There's guys out there you can go get. Here's the problem. You ruined Dylan G, basically. And my goodness, Dylan G, would you pipe it down? Holy cow. Complaining about going to the bullpen, then he gets hurt, and then they get rid of him. All this guy did was complain. You had a 5-plus ERA. I mean, we're supposed to groom Dylan G and give him a handkerchief and tea and crumpets. Go perform. Dylan G is a joke. And he was waived, and now if he's not claimed, he will join AAA Las Vegas on Tuesday. And Jordan Spieth is tied, headed into the final hole. I'm kind of pissed I'm missing the end of this. This seems like a tremendous moment right now. Ooze Thuzen birdie 7 his last holes to finish at 4 under. Spieth double bogey 17 and is tied going into the final hole. But apparently he has just sunk a putt, and Spieth looks like he's about to win the U.S. Open. But anyways, there's guys out there, and tomorrow's the day. I mean, the Mets have a homestand. They'll face the Reds and then the Cubs after these three with Milwaukee coming up. And now's the time to go make a move. Go do it. It's really plain and simple. Just go make a move. And tomorrow's the day you got to do it. Because the fans are sick and tired of a team that's fine with mediocrity. And that's all Terry Collins has been his entire life. As a manager. I'm not going to say his life general, but... And Nick Velastro is listening on WGBB right now. I'll have to replay to hear that. So thanks, Nick, for tuning in. But... And he wants me to say, Vuckanen, Cannon, and step back, step back. Me and Nick, big fans of drops and songs at the end of the song. So, Vuckanen, I had to throw that in there. He wanted me to throw a meow in there, too. But I'm going to spare the listeners the cat calls here on Sports Talk 1240. But the Mets are in clear shape. And here's the problem. When you have start after start after start after start of no run support, it gets to your head. And these guys are young. Noah Syndergaard, you could see the frustration in him the other Saturday night when the defense, I mean, you got guys not covering third base and Ruben Tejada. You got guys just not covering second base. And Nick said, you're ridiculous. you got no one covering second on a stolen base. Ruben Tejada decides to field the ball. There's a runner going from second to third, leaves third base wide open. You can't convert a double play if your life depended on it. I mean, they got defensive issues, base running issues. They can't hit a lick. The middle relief is awful. And you mix an awful middle relief with a manager who can't manage it. I mean, we circle back to last week. Terry Collins leaves and the other one shouldn't be in the major leagues. I mean, what is the love affair that Terry Collins has? And the other one shouldn't be in the major leagues. I mean, what is the love affair that Terry Collins has with Carlos Torres? He's got a 4-plus ERA. Last week versus the Braves on that Saturday when Familia was unavailable, he leaves him in for a second inning for a save. He gives up two runs, and they lose in extra innings. What is the fascination with Carlos Torres? What is the fascination with Alex Torres facing a lefty when he has lefties hitting 279 versus him and righties hitting 146? How are you going to call that a lefty specialist? I'd rather have a guy like Jack Leathersich in a situation the other night than a guy like Sean Gilmartin, another guy who's not a lefty specialist. He's got a nasty curve, but again, better versus righties. Two guys, better versus righties. Let's put them in to face lefties. The fascination with lefty-lefty, righty-righty is mind-boggling to me. Because a good portion of the time, at least with the Mets, it doesn't work out. So stop doing it. And stop putting in Carlos Torres in big spots. He can't get the job done. Stop putting in Alex Torres to face lefties. He can't get the job done. And sure, you look at the season and you say, 71 games in, there's 91 remaining, and you're a game and a half out of first place. You take that? Sure, you do. But this thing looks like it's about to spiral out of control. And my goodness, 10-24 in the road? The disparity between home and road is weird this year, because in the past, we know Citi Field has not been home field for the Mets. This year, they're 26-11 at home and 10-24 on the road. What's the reason for that? I mean, you go on a road trip and the manager's got them 10 wins and it's almost July. I mean, that's pathetic. That's essentially a series loss every single time. I mean, you're fed up at this point if you're a Met fan. You're fed up with them continuing to let Terry Collins manage this team and make excuses. Yes, they need help. Yes, they need to make trades. But you live with what you got, and when you can't manage what you got, you gots to go. And Terry Collins has gots to go. Because there's too many knucklehead, brain damage, brain fart, brain freeze moves that he's done that you can't live with. You can't live with the errors either. You can't live with the inexperience. You can't live with the poor defense. You can't live with the poor bullpen. But it starts with the guy managing them, and that's Terry. It's time to respect the fan base and go a change in direction. Whether it's Bob Guerin off the bench, fine. Whether it's Bud Black, the 2010 manager of the year, who's sitting on his couch watching his Padres underachieve, fine. And obviously we want Wally Backman. But Mookie Wilson, the Mets legend, even laughed at that. He stomped his foot, smashed the bug, and said, "That ain't happening." By the way, class act, Mookie Wilson, who I will try to get on a show too soon. Too soon to get Jim Brewer, super Met fan. His publicist said that we will set something up. But again, I was too last minute on that, have been focused on a lot of things, so that would not be done. But you know what? It happens. You know what? Here it is. Fire Terry Collins and go get Ben Zobrist. And there's life and rejuvenation in Metsland. And the Yankees, they've overachieved. Give them credit. When they get Andrew Miller back, they should be fine. But they need to acquire some middle relief and maybe a bat as well. In the NBA draft, I think the Knicks do take Moutier. If Russell's off the board, if Russell's still there, you take Russell. Thanks a lot for everyone for listening. Have a great Father's Day. Enjoy the draft this week. Let's hope my proclamation for Terry becomes true. Enjoy your first week of summer. It's going to be hot out there, and I'll see you all in a couple of weeks right here on Sports Talk 1240, Alon's AM 1240 WGBB. Have a great night, everybody.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.